This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for joining us today. So how are you feeling about surprise wins these days? About halfway through the second quarter of last night's Super Bowl, Nate Cohn of the New York Times told Twitter that the Atlanta Falcons, with their lead, had an 86% chance of winning the game, just about the same percentage Hillary Clinton had going into Election Day. That tells you something. We begin this hour then back in the campaign, or at least at the very end of it, not with the election forecasters or the data journalists, but with Donald Trump's final ad, his populist broadside for his supporters against the banks.
It's a global power structure that is responsible for the economic decisions that have robbed our working class, stripped our country of its wealth, and put that money into the pockets of a handful of large corporations and political entities.
With that rhetoric were shots of Hillary Clinton, of course, along with meticulously placed images of Jews like George Soros, Janet Yellen, and Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein, all pitted against the American worker. That was the campaign, and now President Trump has turned to the ranks of Goldman Sachs to staff his administration, and on Friday, an executive order officially launching an effort to undo the rules that Congress passed after the housing and financial crisis of 2008. Donald Trump calls the 2010 Dodd-Frank law a disaster and says that eliminating regulations on banks will loosen up lending and boost the economy. One person who does not see the law as a disaster is a man for whom it's named, former Massachusetts Democratic Congressman Barney Frank. Frank was one of the authors of the Dodd-Frank Act, and he sees it largely as a successful piece of legislation, one that's reined in the excesses at the banks without putting job growth at risk. Barney Frank is here to talk about what consumers stand to lose in his eyes if his signature law is disarmed. Congressman Frank, welcome.
Thank you.
I don't know if you're a football fan, Congressman, but anybody from Boston or who lives in Boston deserves congratulations today, I suppose.
Well, I didn't have that much to do with it, but it's very good for the region. Actually, I represented the stadium for most of my time in Congress, and so this kind of thing is always good for a region, and I'm happy it happened.
Good. Well, Congressman, let's start with the fiduciary rule, because that's something before the weekend that started to make news coming out of the Trump administration. Republicans have signaled that they're going after that fiduciary rule, which is part of your Dodd-Frank law. What does this say to you that they're going for this first? This is the rule that requires financial advisors, of course, to put the customer's financial interest first when they're giving advice.
First of all, I do want to clarify, and I know this is confusing. That was not part of our bill. The rule that they are abolishing was actually issued by the Labor Department under the statute known as ERISA, the retirement accounts. That only applies, by the way, it doesn't apply generally. It applies to retirement accounts in particular. And it was not part of our bill, but I think it was a good idea. And what it does is to illustrate the falsity of the argument that what they are really trying to do here is to free up banks to lend more. This is the argument, and that's a very popular one, as it should be. Yes, we want banks to lend. In fact, I will point out that the bill we passed moves the banks more in the direction of lending. It discourages them to some extent from some of the financial razzle-dazzle that Warren Buffett called instruments of financial mass destruction. This rule that they are abolishing says that your broker, the person who invests your money, has to take into account your best interest. What has that got to do with banks lending? The only thing in the law that we passed that restricts lending is one that I would have thought was overwhelmingly popular. In fact, it was at the time. It says that banks, credit unions, nobody should lend money to very low-income people with no assets to buy a home that they can't afford to keep. We did away with these subprime predatory loans of the sort that were a major cause of the crisis. Not because we don't like poor people, but because we don't think it's good for either them or the economy if you give them loans they can't pay off. That's the only thing in there that restricts loans. In fact, one of the things they say they dislike, the Volcker Rule. The Volcker Rule, named for Paul Volcker, who is a very conservative in many ways financial regulator, says to banks, you're supposed to be lending money. Don't spend all your time and energy in these complex derivative transactions. Don't get involved in these razzle-dazzles of the sort that cost us a problem. Lend instead. Goldman Sachs, I guess the president has not been listening or they haven't been talking to the Goldman Sachs people he's hired, because Goldman Sachs has announced, not announced, they have put into effect a new program for more loans. Goldman Sachs, because they are not making as much money in trading as they used to, because we've restricted this kind of trading in financial instruments of the sort that the Big Short documented, they've gone into the lending business. So, yeah, it is important to note that this claim that what they're trying to do is promote more loans is almost the opposite of what they're doing.
Well, House Republicans went after another rule that did come out of the Dodd-Frank law. They did it just before the weekend. It's one that required oil companies to disclose to the public any payments they make to foreign governments on drilling deals. I asked Congressman Frank, your former colleague, Pete Sessions of Texas, who I know you know, whether this was a populist pro-worker policy or really a special interest favor to big companies, and he actually agreed that it was a favor to large companies. Listen.
Well, they were aimed at these political entities that you talk about to harm them. Why shouldn't we be for saving them? If they were meant to, for their demise, parasites designed to kill the host. You know, we try and balance things out, and we're going to do that. The Republican Party will balance it out and make the Democrats be the fools that they are on this issue.
Barney Frank, there's Pete Sessions saying the Obama administration went after big companies using your law, Dodd-Frank, so they're simply making it right.
Oh, that's just nonsense. By the way, the provision was part of our bill. You're right. It was not a regulation of American financial institutions. Again, it has nothing to do with facilitating loans against, again, that's a false rubric. What we had was a pattern. People will be familiar with this, where there were countries in Africa, Asia, some in Latin America, where the country is very poor if you look at the average citizen. But in fact, there was great wealth being generated because oil was being taken. Nigeria was an example. And the law is very simple. All it says is if you are a company that is extracting a mineral from one of these countries, please make public what you pay. It doesn't tell them what they can or can't do. And by the way, it was co-sponsored by a Democrat and a Republican. The Republican was Senator Richard Lugar, who lost the primary a few years ago. This was an anti-corruption thing aimed at telling the people in countries like Nigeria or Gabon or some of these others where we had this pattern of abuse that they were being robbed. I don't understand why the Republicans felt they had to come to the aid of people who want to be able to bribe public officials in countries to make themselves rich and not let the people of those countries know it.
Well, House Republicans certainly are doing that. We'll see if Senate Republicans have the votes to undo it as well. They'll vote on it soon. But what are, Congressman Frank, the most vulnerable areas of regulation in your view? Look, the Senate Democrats will probably have the votes to stop the repeal of Dodd-Frank, but President Trump has broad powers here to weaken enforcement of your law. So what are the areas that are the most vulnerable in ways that would affect regular people, do you think?
Well, that's the central question. There was one thing they will unfortunately probably be able to do legislatively. Using the reconciliation procedure where they only need 51 votes, they intend to make it tougher on the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They hate that, many of them. In fact, that doesn't restrict lending at all. What it does is protect consumers like Wells Fargo's abuse of people that really came out, credit card abuse. This is an agency which they don't like, but look carefully at what they say. They haven't shown you one area where this agency has abused its power. It gets its money under our law through the Federal Reserve, so it's immune from being shut down by the congressional appropriations process. They can probably change that and make it subject to appropriation, and then they'll cut way back on its ability to protect consumers. Everything else will require, if they're going to make a statutory change, 60 votes. And I don't believe they will get it. You see Senator Sherrod Brown, the senior Democrat on the committee, Senator Elizabeth Warren and others, making a very tough fight about it. Bernie Sanders just spoke out strongly against it. The problem, though, as you indicate, is this. What Trump will do is appoint people who will not use the power that will then allow banks and investment houses and other institutions, because this law regulates all financial activity, to do the kind of things that they did leading up to 2008. And what Donald Trump will do is appoint people who won't use that authority and let some of that happen again.
So, Congressman Frank, all of this runs right to the heart of the populist election that we just had, runs right to the heart of Donald Trump's election, frankly. Let's take a step back here and talk about politics for a second. Congressional phone lines have been blowing up for the last couple of weeks. You've been critical of Bernie Sanders in the past and his supporters for some of their message during the campaign, but that's over now. What should Democrats do you think, with all of this energy in the streets and all of the pressure on them to go the populist route and really pay attention to the Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren wing of the party?
Well, first of all, I've been very closely aligned with Elizabeth Warren. There's no change there with me. In fact, I'm very proud to have worked with her to create the Consumer Bureau. My differences with Senator Sanders had nothing to do with the substance. I agreed with him on most substantive issues. I thought his criticism of Hillary Clinton was unfair in some ways. She was, in fact, the one who was for tough regulation, and I was critical of the political impact of that. But what the Democrats should do, and I just said, I mentioned Senator Sanders, I mentioned Senator Brown, Senator Sherrod Brown, Senator Warren, they should let the American public know. I think this, when there's a great saying from the French writer La Rochefoucauld, hypocrisy is the tribute that vice pays to virtue. In other words, when people are saying things that they don't really believe that aren't true, that's a sure sign that they know that what they do believe isn't popular. When they talk about protecting lending, when there's nothing in the bill that restricts lending except for those subprime loans, essentially, they are trying to cover up their true methods. Once the Democrats are able to make this public, and I'm very encouraged by the tone of the debate, by this chance that I have and others to talk about it, I think that this will turn around. You know, the fact is that the president has appointed to these positions the very people he denounced. I mean, it's bizarre almost. He ran an ad denouncing Goldman Sachs, and now he's appointing all these Goldman Sachs people to the administration. Apparently, they haven't told him that precisely because they are not making nearly as much money by these trades and derivatives, because we've restricted it and required them to put the money up if they were going to do them, Goldman Sachs is increasing its lending. They created a whole new wing of Goldman Sachs to lend more money, which totally belies the argument that what they're worried about is insufficient loans. And I got to tell you, he says he's going to drain the swamp. People my age will remember the very funny comic strip Pogo, which was about a possum in a swamp. And one of the great lines from Pogo was, "We have met the enemy and it is us." Well, that's Donald Trump in the swamp. The enemy that he talked about combating in the campaign turns out to be him.
Well, as Donald Trump pledges to drain the swamp, one of the people standing on the edge is Barney Frank, the namesake of the Dodd-Frank law that President Trump and other Republicans are going after. Congressman Frank, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.